Well, if God has created one new man in Christ Jesus, he also gave that new body that was created there at Pentecost a new future, totally different to what the Old Testament believed their future was. The Jews looked for an earthly kingdom. We look for a heavenly kingdom, totally different and totally new. And I want to share with you just a few things about the God's mysteries revealed. That's good. My brother-in-law preached in Burma a whole message with the screen behind him. Nobody had the heart to tell him there were no slides up there. They were too polite. Got to the absolute end of the message and discovered that nobody'd been seeing what he'd been talking about on the screen. Always good to check the screen, which I didn't do. Well, when God introduced the Feast of Pentecost in Leviticus, he was in a sense foreshadowing the formation of a body that would be later revealed as the church. Rhonda alluded to that this morning. Those two wave loaves that were brought before the Lord were a picture of Jew and Gentile coming together. That's why I think it was no accident when the book of Acts records the fact that when the day of Pentecost was fully come. A lovely picture, isn't it? The formation of the church was in God's plan, but really a hidden truth. But it was in God's plan, because there in that wonderful feast, it had that picture of those two groups coming together. How wonderful and amazing is God's plan for the world? It's already mapped out. He's given us the scriptures, and we need to find out what it is. The mystery for the church, of course, is not now the foundation or the formation of it, but the mystery of our gathering together under him, because that's what the scripture talks about. Resurrection was not a new truth understood by the Old Testament saints. In fact, this is what Hebrews records of Abraham's life. When he laid his son there on the altar, raised the knife ready to kill his only son, through whom God had promised that all the world would be blessed, he believed this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Do you understand how wonderful that faith of Abraham was? What evidence did he have prior to Abraham's life that anybody was raised from the dead? None. What a man of faith he was, but he believed. If God told him to kill his son, that he would be raised. But his expectation was that Isaac would be raised in a natural body, ready to continue what Abraham had promised through him. Job had the same faith. He said this, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter days upon the earth." They believed in a kingdom that God would establish on the earth. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh will I see God, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." He believed one day he would see God. The New Testament still has the fact of the knowledge of resurrection. Remember, Lazarus has died. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone to talk with Mary and Martha. And he makes this statement to Martha, saying this: "Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise." Our scriptures read, "Our brother shall rise again." But in the Greek, the word "again" is not there. Very interesting. Christ was saying to her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So they're talking cross purposes. She believed in a future resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, no, he's going to rise immediately. And so that story we know of, that after 4 days they opened the tomb and called forth Lazarus, and he came forth in a body that was brought back from the dead. The decay had been reversed. But remember, Lazarus had to die again. You know, I sometimes wonder how poor old Lazarus felt about that. You've been through the valley of the shadow of death once. Do you want to go through it twice? It's an interesting story. But it was a wonderful testimony to God's grace. Because remember when the Lord Jesus Christ came into that household right just before riding into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. Remember, people came to see Christ, but they also came to see Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. And many believed because of Lazarus' resurrection. God had a purpose in doing what he did. So resurrection was not a new thing, but it was a thought that they would be resurrected in an earthly body to enjoy an earthly kingdom. The Old Testament saints believed that the millennial kingdom was to be on earth. It was to be ruled by their king, and it was an earthly kingdom. Well, the rapture of the church is not found in the Old Testament. There are allusions to it, in a sense, in the Gospels, but nothing about really the rapture. The only statement we have is from John's Gospel, in John chapter 14, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place, I will come again and what? Receive you unto myself. That is about the only verse that you can hang any thread upon in the Gospels concerning the rapture of the church. The mystery of the church was not revealed until the New Testament. The Old Testament, of course, deals with God's working with the nation of Israel, and the catching away of the church is a totally a different resurrection. It was the Apostle Paul who was called to reveal this new mystery. Ron has explained what a mystery is about. But where the question is, where did Paul learn that from? Did he learn it from the apostles, the disciples? No. In fact, if you read the book of Galatians, he says this, this I certify, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. The disciples had no picture of the rapture of the church. They couldn't have taught Paul about it because they had no knowledge themselves. He says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Those silent years, about 3 years, Paul was silent in his ministry after his conversion. The scriptures indicate he was there in Arabia, and there the Lord taught him many things. Many of those, of course, are what he has outlined in his epistles. The doctrine of the New Testament church was revealed to Paul in a separate way. Those silent years taught him amazing things. New revelations. Well, one of the great revelations was this. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, you know, this tells me something. People today say you don't teach new Christians about the rapture of the church and the future of the church and prophetical things. It's too hard for them to understand. Just think of Paul's ministry to the church at Thessalonica. Were they new Christians? Absolutely. In fact, they were so new, they'd come out of a pagan background, out of Greek philosophy, and all of a sudden Paul is obviously teaching about the Lord's return. Is it that difficult to understand? No. The problem is, some of the men who teach from the pulpits need to go and study the subject from themselves so that they can teach it to the churches as well. It's a much neglected teaching in the church today.